Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Alex Hall in San Francisco. The Department of Water Resources is promising no water next year for rural and urban areas unless they need it for basic necessities. This comes as California's drought continues into a third year. KQED climate reporter Ezra David Romero explains.
Santa Clara County is one of seven places, including Napa and parts of Southern California, relying on state water for basic needs like bathing and drinking. State leaders said Santa Clara Valley Water will receive the water it's asked for.
And that's great. It's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Gary Kremen is the vice chair of the agency, which serves more than 2 million people in the San Jose area. He wants residents to understand they're only getting emergency water in part because local reservoirs are just 11% full.
In Santa Clara County, it's extraordinarily bad. And I don't think people realize that unless the second their tap doesn't work. But that's not the right way to look at it.
Despite recent rains, Carla Namath, director of the Department of Water Resources, says this water year, the state needs 140% of average rainfall to recover from drought. At the moment, there's only a voluntary cutback of 15% statewide. But Namath says that could change.
If conditions continue this dry, we will see mandatory cutbacks.
She says the state's largest reservoir is only about 30% full, and that's just half of where it usually is for this time of year. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero.
The detection of the Omicron variant in San Francisco is prompting a lot of questions about the efficacy of vaccines and how we should operate moving into the holiday season. For more on this, I spoke with Dr. Monica Gandhi. She's an infectious disease doctor and professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. As a public health expert, I mean, are we responding to this appropriately or could we be overreacting?
You know, in this particular case, I saw a kind of a huge overreaction to the variant. I'm still trying to understand all the reasons why, but what I mean by that is we've actually had four variants since Delta, Mu. One's called Mu, one's called Lambda, one's called R1, one's called Delta Plus, and we didn't see this kind of overreaction. And there was so much panic on Thanksgiving. And also beyond that, travel bans were enacted. And bizarrely, they were enacted only against African countries, even though actually now the variant has been found in multiple European countries, Portugal, Israel, Italy, UK, Canada, US yesterday. And that part of it really has been raising a lot of concern by the WHO and many of us that it looks really discriminatory to just put travel bans in because it was described from South Africa. So I think there was an overreaction to this variant. Admittedly, a lot more data has come out since, and that's great, and that can really calm us down. But there was something about this that was really panicky and pretty much ruined everyone's holiday last week.
And I imagine the ramifications of this will likely be different for, you know, the Bay Area, a region with high vaccination rates compared to other parts of the state where we're still seeing a lot of people who haven't gotten vaccinated. I'm thinking of the Central Valley and some of the other rural areas in Northern California. Would your professional advice be different for Californians living in those communities?
That is absolutely right. I mean, we saw the pattern that you just said, we already saw that with the Delta variant, and that was months ago, that places with high vaccination, like the Bay Area, were spared the high hospitalizations, saw cases, but spared the high hospitalizations because they became decoupled because these vaccines really work against severe disease. But places that had low vaccination around the state and also, of course, around the country saw high hospitalizations. That same pattern will occur with a new variant. And so, yes, in the Bay Area, very well protected. There are places in Central California that are less protected. And the biggest thing I can think of is how hard we need to work to get those who are still on the fence, who are unvaccinated, to please get vaccinated.
And the question that's probably on a lot of people's minds right now is just, should we be concerned or should we be living life like we were just a couple of days ago or a week ago before this discovery?
So I think we should not be changing anything, especially if we live in areas of high vaccination. And they're going to be protected from this variant, which again is looking a lot better than it looked a week ago. Not even sure if it's more transmissible by the Botswana data. And all of that means you're in an area of high vaccination, please proceed. Do it all you were doing, go on your holidays, do what you want to do. In places of low vaccination, that is true that any new variant can drive more cases and hospitalizations. And I think if I were in charge of the universe, I would think of more creative ways to get our unvaccinated vaccinated. And what I mean by that is there are older people who are retirees, not reached by vaccine mandates, who I would reach out to. People on disability actually are not working and not part of vaccine mandates. And there's about 10 million Americans that we could outreach to in those two groups.
Dr. Monica Gandhi is an infectious disease doctor and professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. Dr. Gandhi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Despite the discovery of the new coronavirus variant, Governor Gavin Newsom says the state will likely avoid shutdowns and added restrictions like during last year's surge. Speaking in the Central Valley yesterday, the governor said the state will increase COVID-19 testing at California airports for arrivals from countries identified by the CDC where the variant is spreading. The governor also stressed the importance of getting vaccinated and for those who are eligible to get their booster shot. California rules meant to protect outdoor workers from the dangers of wildfire smoke are almost never enforced. That's the finding of an investigation by KQED and the California Newsroom. Farida Javala Romero has the latest in our ongoing series, Dangerous Air.
Breathing wildfire smoke can lead to serious health problems like worsening asthma and heart failure. So when there's unhealthy levels of wildfire smoke, California employers are required to reduce exposure, such as by moving workers indoors or providing N95 masks. But in Fresno, the state's top producing agricultural county, many farm workers I spoke with say they've continued to work in heavy smoke with no protections. In a field by the highway, a man pulls dry grapevines from the soil. He's worked in U.S. agriculture for 15 years. I hand him a wrapped N95 mask and ask if his boss ever offered him one.
No, la mera no, la mera no. En el trabajo no nos han dado ni máscaras para nada, en ningún trabajo.
No, at work they haven't given us masks at all, he says. We're not using his name because he says he fears retaliation from his employer. And like more than 40% of the state's ag workers, he's undocumented. An estimated 4 million people work outdoors in California. Over the last 2 years the rule's been in place, the state has faced the worst wildfire seasons on record. But the agency tasked with protecting workers' safety cited employers for violating the smoke rules just 11 times. That's according to data obtained by KQED and the California Newsroom. The official who was in charge of enforcement at Cal OSHA just got a bigger job as head of federal OSHA.
Testimony. Senators will each have 5 minutes for a round of questions. Before we begin.
During his Senate confirmation hearing this spring, Doug Parker told lawmakers a top priority is to enforce worker safety laws.
And then we also have to be able to deliver the goods once those workers have the trust in us to come forward.
He declined to speak with KQED and directed us to Dan Lucido, who's now the acting chief of Cal OSHA.
We are a leader in providing worker protection, including against smoke.
Do you really believe that there's only 11 violations of this law over 2 years?
So first of all, we can only respond to complaints that are issued. And in all of the cases where we responded and found evidence of a violation, we issued a citation.
Back in the field in Fresno, the worker says he didn't know about the rule, so he couldn't complain about not getting the required protections. His employer never told him how to stay safe on smoky days, he says. Other farm workers I talked to said the same thing. And that's something the rule says employers must also do in a language workers understand. Cantu Ag Management employs workers in this field.
So we already sent over your email to our attorney. So he is the one that's going to be responding.
Angie Garcia works at Cantu Ag Management. I contacted her after sending a request for comment.
We provide everything necessary for them to, you know, use while they're working.
Later, the attorney told KQED the company is in compliance with the smoke safety rules, but declined to provide any evidence. What's really needed, advocates and state lawmakers say, are strike teams of Cal OSHA inspectors in the fields on smoky days. But a bill to do just that was gutted in the state legislature earlier this year, after Governor Gavin Newsom's administration opposed it. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero in Fresno.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, December 2nd. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Alex Hall in San Francisco. Thanks for listening.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, helping people take control of their finances with financial tools and objective advice from a fiduciary advisor. PersonalCapital.com. SF MoMA, presenting the world premiere of Joan Mitchell, a stunning retrospective of over 80 works by the trailblazing painter who made art on her own terms. Learn more at sfmoma.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes Schmidt Futures, focused on finding exceptional people and helping them do more for others together. On the web at schmidtfutures.com.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.